Good morning and welcome to the Thursday, April 12, 2018 meeting of the Washington State Fish and Wildlife Commission. We have a busy 3 days, but I'm very pleased to kick off our 3-day agenda with item number one, which is the Advisory Committee for Americans with Disabilities report to the commission. And I want to kick that part off by saying I know I speak for all of my fellow commissioners, our heartfelt appreciation and thanks for those of you that have been participating in the committee and for the new members that at least Commissioner Thornburg and I have had the opportunity to talk to on the phone. Welcome, and what you're doing is critically important. That's why we're taking lots of pictures, too. And you're being streamed live on TVW, so I said you'll not be able to walk down the streets of any street in Washington now without people coming up to you wanting your signature. Your work is really important, and we need your advice. And the goal is to how can we help you and help the citizens of the state enjoy the outdoors, regardless of what their challenges may be. And you guys are out there to help bring us suggestions, ideas, so we can help those ideas become reality and suggestions become real solutions. So we look forward to hearing from you, and also the ideas of partnering that some of you have, like on the duck blinds, bird observation blinds, how can we help you link with DU and things like that, or fishing platforms, how can we help you link with TU, and on and on. So bring your ideas. We need those, and we want to help those become reality. So I will turn it over to Dan, or who's Dan? Okay.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Dan Dickerson. I'm the chairman for your ADA Advisory Committee, and it's our pleasure to be here with you this morning. Thank you for the invitation. First of all, I'd like to introduce our members. I'll go from my right all the way to the left. We have Melissa Espinosa, I have Ron Zubrick, I have Rick Spring, I have Chuck Gervalia, and Carol Ivanoff. And this is your team as currently stands. We are missing our Region 4 member at this time. I'm sure you're aware of that and the reasons behind that, and that's being addressed. So without further ado, these members have worked diligently, all of them, even my newest member, Z, as he likes to go by. And as they give their reports, I'm sure you'll find that you have a night and day difference in this committee versus the last one. Their enthusiasm and their efforts and their skill sets, I think, will continue to impress you and bring benefit to the department. As they give their reports and let you know what they're doing, I hope that this is a huge encouragement, not only for you, but also for the people in our communities and for the people in our state who have disabilities and want to enjoy the different things that we have to offer. With that, I'll go ahead and give Ron Zubrick an opportunity to share his report on the projects and things that he's working on and the things that he brings to the table. And we'll just go Region 1 all the way to Region 6 and then the at-large position. So go ahead, Ron.
Good morning.
Just move the button.
So first and foremost, I'd like to thank everyone. Being the new guy on the team here, I'm really excited. We had a get-together last night, and just it was a confirmation of the passion that everyone has and the teamwork that I'm seeing. So as a paralyzed vet, former coach, as a rehabilitation counselor, I have an opportunity to hear a lot of different issues, a lot of broken lives. Gosh, I can't be myself anymore. And so one of the first programs that I'm looking at that I'd already started into even before hearing about this was working with the VA, working with groups like Parasport out there in Eastern Washington, for people with disabilities, getting their lives back, getting back out into the open and understanding that life is not over. Still being able to do the things that we love to do, just doing them differently. And so I've got physical therapist, occupational therapist, rec therapist that I've been able to work with to start coming up with ideas. I've also started working on different designs for different modifications for things. And so getting more specific requests, I need this to be able to do that, those kinds of things. I'm also tying in with other voc rehab counselors that I've known with disabilities and things they've done to help their patients get into life. So by that, it was probably one of the biggest things that I really wanted to get going. The second thing that I'm really wanting to work on is more information. When I used to live in Oregon, we talked with Fish and Wildlife, and they would admit, yeah, you need to be a rocket scientist to understand some of the rules and regulations. When you have a disability, understanding what else is out there and how to access that. Even I didn't know that I could do different things and still be able to get out there. As a hunter ed instructor, I'm able to even talk to my students, young kids. We've got a 7-year-old in our class right now, and we've got someone that's 50. And that whole gambit, most of the time they don't even understand that. Which kind of also rolls into the third project I'm working on, is working with my hunter ed team to start developing different ways to bring out to the students, able-bodied hunter ed students, how do I help someone that maybe wants to get out into the field, go fishing, go hunting? Maybe I want to stay out of their way, realizing, hey, here's someone who had help getting out into their turkey blind. How do I make sure I don't interrupt their hunting experience? And so getting that kind of information that we can spread around. Through these things, some of the conversations I've had with some of my committee members, being able to start collaborating and watching how we can develop that. So those are the things that are right off the start. My big request is, being new, anything that the commission can see for Region 1 that you're like, we'd like to see this, please let Dan know so he can let me know, and I'll jump on it. Thank you.
Okay, being your Region 2 member as well as the chairman, I'll give you the report from my region. The past efforts that have gone into Region 2 is that we have just recently, just last year, were able to, with the help of several organizations, to secure 0.83 miles and 14 acres of waterfront along the upper Wenatchee River. And after we secured that at a cost of funds that were raised for $453,000, we were able to turn that deed over to the Department of Fish and Wildlife, so that land is now in public hands in perpetuity. So since that came into being, a trail has been developed, and the trail is being continually worked on and upgraded so that it's ADA accessible, so people can get down and see the different parts of the river, access it for fishing, birding, just to be able to have a picnic and whatever else they want to do. That land would have gone into other things and houses being developed all the way to the waterfront had we not secured that. So now that's a public land access that is there for all to enjoy. One of the other things that's going on right now is that the Department of Fish and Wildlife, or the Department of Fish and the National Fishing Service has a product, an event coming out. It's the National Youth Hunting and Fishing Day. And with the help of the Wenatchee Sportsmen's Association, that event is taking place every year now in the Wenatchee area. 2 years ago, we had about 80 children that came out to experience different types of shooting sports, learning how to use fishing poles of different kinds, and archery as well. Last year, we had over 380 children show up. And we had several other participants with Chelan and Douglas County Sheriff's Office, the fire departments, rescue agencies, the Department of Fish and Wildlife was there, the Forest Service was there, several other entities, Rocky Mountain Elks, Trout Unlimited. This year we have even more that are planning to come. One that we're really excited about is the Youth Outdoors Unlimited. They are an organization who are bringing young people the opportunity to experience wildlife outdoor activities that they would never have gotten to enjoy before. Some of these children, it's almost like a Make-A-Wish Foundation. Some of them are terminally ill. And so they get an opportunity to do something outside that they normally would not have gotten to do. And so we're partnering with them this year to be there as a participant to bring in the ADA aspect to all this as well. Most recent activity was the Wenatchee Valley Sportsman's Show that it was held at the Town Toyota Center in Wenatchee, where we manned a youth fishing pond all day, and we were able to allow the children to come and experience the what it's like to catch a fish for the first time. I don't know if you have experienced that at all, but the look on a child's face when they catch a fish, it's either sheer joy or sheer terror, one or the other. And the fish this year were extremely large. We had 1 to 3 pound trout in the pond, and we had a couple of them that were 7 to 8 pounds. Those didn't get caught, but it was just fun to see them swimming around in the trout pond. some of the other things that we're working on are there's an effort underway working with the Forest Service and the Department and the Wenatchee Sportsmen's to secure a better access to Fish Lake. Fish Lake in Chelan County is probably one of the largest fished lakes in the state of Washington. However, at this time, access is not available for those with disabilities, full disabilities, and fees to access the lake have doubled since last year. So I'm working with the district ranger in the area, along with several other organizations, Trout Unlimited included, to try and see if we can't resolve that situation and or come up with a different public access to the lake. There was an effort underway several years ago, and it was shut down due to some artifacts that were found at the other end of the lake. But I am now told that that wasn't a reason to stop that progression for that access to the lake. So we're trying to reopen that and see if we can't look at that as a viability for that. Another thing that's coming up is that there's plans and works to try and create a clinic right now to introduce fishing at Beehive Lake in our area, in the Chelan County area. There's a lot of people in our area that, whether they're disabled or not, they don't speak English. And so they don't understand the rules and regulations that pertain to freshwater fishing. And so we're having a clinic at Beehive Lake coming up soon. Another one that we're trying to do is that I'm working in conjunction with the Fish and Wildlife Service at the Leavenworth Fish Hatchery. They had an area that had hazardous waste and a large lot area. Once that was removed, it left them a large pit. Part of the pit was filled back in, but we decided that, or was decided by them, that perhaps we could build a youth fishing pond. After the last meeting I had with them, they want to collaborate with Wenatchee Sportsmen's, myself, Trout Unlimited, and several other organizations and local businesses to try and create a natural fishing pond that the water would come off of their first holding reservoir. That the fish, when the water comes off of the hatchery, it has to sit into a holding pond for sediment to settle. That water would come off of that pond to fill this fishing pond, and then the overflow would go into the second sediment pond and then into the river. So it would be a natural flow of the water that comes off for the fish. And that would allow the children to have about a 6 or 8 month access to a fishing pond in that area and give them the education and availability to do that. And once I talked to them about accessibility for ADA, they were thrilled. And so because they're in the business of raising fish and not doing a fishing pond, all of the funding has to come from outside of their resources. And right now, that looks like it's a doable thing. And so those are some of the things that we're working on at this time. So now I would like to turn this over to Chuck Gravaglia and have him discuss what's going on in his region.
Yeah, Dan, just before you do, I'd make a wish part of that. I think I can volunteer a day's outing with the fishing magician.
That would be a welcome.
Who's your neighbor up there? Not to obligate him, but I think that would. In fact, I will come join you on that day.
I think that'd be an awesome opportunity because there was a young man last year that they showed us pictures of. And I'm very envious. He caught a 43-pound king salmon last year, and that was one of the last things that he got to do. And I don't know. I just
he might take credit for that then, so we don't want that.
Anyway, I think that'd be awesome. That'd be awesome.
Good morning. My name is Chuck, and I'm the Region 3 ADA committee member. My region didn't have much of a program when I inherited it. And so the bulk of my time has been coordinating with other people and other entities, trying to get a collaboration of people to come together and try to improve things. So I've formed a subcommittee, if you will, of some businessmen and some financial advisors, primarily geared towards fundraising. We found that identifying projects weren't hard, but coming up with money was. And so we've spent a vast amount of time trying to come up with how we're going to come up with funds to do some of the projects. We have identified some projects to enhance water access, and I supplied an addendum to you guys this morning. We're in the process of working out some of the technicalities of that. Some of the river fluctuations have posed a little bit of a problem, but I think it's something we can overcome pretty easily, just a matter of time. We have collaborated with other organizations, the Richland Rod and Gun Club for volunteers, also working closely with the Boy Scouts of America, trying to get some of their young scouts who are looking to earn merit badges and or progress through their Eagle program, so they can kind of help plan some of these projects, and they can move forward as well as helping the public. So that's kind of what we got going right now. Lots of ideas. Nothing as organized as some of these others, but we're starting from scratch in Region 3, so I think we have good things coming.
I'm Rick Spring. I'm from Region 5. I've had the opportunity to work with Brad before and with the past Region 5 ADA committee member, so it gave me a little bit of insight. I kind of got a little head start on some of the other groups, and it's a privilege to be part of this committee. Completed projects. We are pretty active down in Southwest Washington in Clark County. This is one of our most ambitious projects. It's a lighting project in one of our fish and wildlife boat launches. It's ADA accessible, wheelchair available in the pool, in the boats. It was so dark in such a rural area that you couldn't see. There was a lot of vandalism, a lot of clandestine behavior that was really unacceptable. So one of our constituents asked, can we get lights down there? And with the effort from a lot of people, I spearheaded the project. We were able to get in 5 lights, lit up all the parking lots, coordination between PUD, Fish and Wildlife, the Vancouver Wildlife League. We were able to, and Northwest Steelheaders funded the project. Turned out fabulous. The people are ranting and raving. The crime has gone down. The usage has gone up. The trash, everything has just really improved the area tremendously. A great asset to the local community. We build a wheelchair accessible duck blind. This is the one that we just installed at Willapa Bay, the one on most recent week. This is kind of how it comes together as we're building it. It's got a drop door in front, nice wide door in back. NIOS has looked at it and approved our construction. It's really a great project. This blind's went from a 10 or 12% usage rate, this is another one, to 80% usage rate. These blinds have been so well received. People stop me in Costco and want to know, wow, where can we get more? We have one that we built. The original one was built on Washington state land, in the Shillipoo area. We welded this unit together because we were afraid of vandalism. The group, with the support of the wildlife biologist Darren Hoswald, was able to camouflage it and put it in play, and it hasn't been touched. People are standing in line to use it. It's really a joy to have this product out. I don't know if you can see this, but it's in your pamphlet. This is what it looks like after it was done. So it's really a great project. They've helped so much with the people, getting the guys out in the field. It's just, they're great. We can put three electric wheelchairs side by side. Our newest project is we're working on, we have a trap shooting area in Vancouver Lake. It's been there for quite a few years. It's allowed to be used by the public during certain non-hunting months and non-birding months. The Vancouver Wildlife League, we use this area for our youth pheasant hunts and our youth duck hunts and so on and so forth. And we thought a nice cover for it would be really a great asset to the area. So we've started the project. I've got all the mounds of paperwork done and the plans and permit done. We're waiting right now for the state Fish and Wildlife archaeologist to give her approval, and we'll be able to submit all the paperwork. This is about probably going to run us about $6,000 when it's done, all done by volunteers, all done by volunteer and donated funds. These blinds have created a whole new aspect in the state. There's nothing like it anywhere that we've seen. We've tried to find them in other places, and they just don't exist. I'm working with Chuck right now, and that's where the funding is coming in. We're planning on putting two in Sunnyside this year. That's our goal. I have a little better access to resources than he does just because of my experience in this, and we're working close together to get that going. It's an expensive project, but I think our goal is to put one of our blinds in every region at least. So Southwest Washington has gotten the best deal because I'm down there myself personally, but we got one in Region 6, and Chuck's going to take care of Region 3. So we're moving forward with it, and it's just been really great to put these plans into play and see the people using them. They're really getting used, which makes it a win-win for all of us. And if anybody really wants to spend some money, I've got some pretty big projects that we can work on, but that's for another time and another forum. Thank you very much for your time.
Rick, you said that I saw three seasons blind. So, well, those are for bird
watching. Yeah, well. And in fact, we are next year. Willapa Bay wants to put in one out in back in the Ricola unit specifically for bird watching. We didn't want to emulate only a hunting blind. It's only for hunting. We want to open these up to where people will use them 24/7, you know, all year long, and then they have where you can get in with your cameras because they're on prime real estate for bird watching and viewing, and only to use them 107 days a year is kind of a waste of a resource. There's a lot of people that get a lot of use out of them.
Have you let Audubon know about this?
Excuse me?
Have you let the local Audubon chapters?
Yeah, they know, and it's again, this is pretty new. It's just okay. Been in the last couple of years, and so all of this stuff takes time to cultivate and mature. We just finished the one in Willapa Bay in August, I guess is when it was, July or August. And we're set to go. When we get funding, all we have to do is have funding, and I can build these in 2 days. I can assemble one in 2 days. So there's work, prep work for it, but it's a very effective, goes in real fast, and they will last forever. We won't have to worry about replacing or damaging or anything like that. And when the people see them and they see that we've put this effort into it, it shows more respect for the and they're out using it more and they feel safer. A big problem we have being disabled is feeling safe when you're walking out across or doing something. And these are set up so well that the people feel very comfortable and safe, and they really get a lot of enjoyment out of them.
Great.
Thank you.
Good morning. First of all, thank you for giving disabled people a voice. We don't have a voice very many places, and of course, we're totally enthused about being able to affect fishing and hunting and bird watching and, you know, being able to go on trails and so I was real excited when I got the opportunity to be on the group. The first thing, of course, we got introduced to was Rick, which he's our role model. We all want to grow up and be like Rick. So it set the bar for us pretty high, okay? And so I thought, well, that's great. You know, I'm going to get some duck blinds in Region 6 and going to get some fishing opportunities in Region 6. So the first thing I did was took a look at the website, took a look at, met with my regional biologists. They got all enthused. They said, you know, Carol, we throw away a lot of fish at the hatcheries. We would just love it if we could build some kind of handicap accessible platform and let the disabled come and fish all those extra fish. And so we're really enthused about that. And I got a bunch of materials from Rick because we'll have to get volunteers and we'll have to get, you know, materials and stuff like that. So that's one of the projects I'll be working on, as well as trying to identify other places we can put duck blinds. The regional biologists are doing that. I kind of fell into the other two projects that I ended up getting involved in. One is taking a look at the website, trying to find out, you know, where can I go in a wheelchair? Where can I go if I have issues with, you know, being able to move and walk and all those kinds of things? So I was looking at the handicap accessible stuff, and there was beautiful pages in the website about where you could go water access, where you could take your boat, where you could go, you know, hunting and things like that. But it had, didn't have a lot of information about accessibility and those kinds of things. There is a stagnant site where Dolores has been, you know, entering, you know, here's one, and, you know, it's got an accessible bathroom, it's got an accessible this or that. So I kind of fell into the project of, I want to make sure when the new website goes up that we have all the sites that have accessible areas are identified. So it's kind of like, where are we? You know, whether it's duck and hunting and fishing, you know, where are we as far as an ADA community? Of course, you know, they didn't know who was coming at them when I was coming at them. Because I had put a GIS website together for stream keepers up in Clallam County. And so I said, oh, no, I know what it takes to do this. I says, all you have to tell me is what data you need. We will give you the data. You won't be spending hours going and getting the data, getting the pictures, trying to find out which one's accessible and not. We will gather all that data for you. We just want you to upload it into the map. So I've been working from the bottom up. Sam has been working from the top down. And, you know, I won't give up till it's there. So they better just surrender now and take their losses. The other thing is I am on email distribution for all the public lands that are being purchased. And so what I've been doing now is sending it to the ADA committee and saying the land that's getting purchased in your area, what could be done to those purchases. I got all excited because they're looking at buying the dock up in Clallam County in CQ, Olson's Dock. You know, he's had that forever. It's one of the very few sites along the Strait of Juan de Fuca that you can actually go fish from. So, man, I jumped on that and said, hey, let's make sure we have a way for handicap to get out on those piers and be able to fish the salmon and the other runs that are coming through there. And so, of course, you know, I'm watching every move they're making, and are they going to buy it? You know, and if they do, if they don't have the budget to put in a ramp, I'll go do what Rick did. And so we're going to be watching the purchases in the future and hopefully feed some of that to you guys to let you know, hey, we think this site you're buying is going to be perfect for a blind, or it's going to be perfect for fishing. And so we'll get that information to you guys. So we're your eyes and ears, and we'll be doing everything we can to make Washington the best place to be for people with disabilities.
Wow, that's a great goal.
Good morning. I'm Liz Espinosa, and can you hear me?
I reside here in Olympia, and so I'm the member at large. And just to give you a little background, I grew up in Idaho, so I grew up in a fishing, hunting family and loved the outdoors. And I was injured in 1980, so I have seen, it was prior to the ADA, and so I've seen a lot of changes, you know, since I was injured, and a lot of growth because of the growing up in a family that liked the outdoors. Kind of what Z was talking about, when you're injured, you're newly injured, you feel like, well, gosh, will I ever be able to enjoy the outdoors? And it actually took me quite a while. And just through the programs of, I moved to Washington in 1985, and just the growth of the programs here. And what I have found is that even though there's a lot of information provided, people don't know where to find it. Like Z was expressing, that I attend a lot of events that are for the community, for people with disabilities. And honestly, I never have heard at these events about Fish and Wildlife services and programs provided for people with disabilities. And so that's something that I want to work on, is this roadshow, but not only to have more resources and education and an outreach at the sportsman shows, but also at some of the events that I attend. And there's an organization called Here and Now, and it's a huge outreach for individuals with spinal cord injuries. And they have a two-day event in September, October, where they let vendors come in or organizations come in and talk to the individuals there about programs and services that are offered in the state of Washington. That was one organization and forum I wanted to be at, was to, you know, be there to set up a table and let individuals know that, you know, the Fish and Wildlife does offer these programs, and here's the resources. And I know even at the sportsman shows, I know Dolores has provided some resources, but I think there's a great need for more resources to hand out, or to have committee members there. And because I wanted to be at the Puyallup and the Portland show and to talk to individuals. And so that's one of the projects I'm working on, is to develop, you know, some type of program that maybe we can all participate in and have representation. And the other one is to conduct interviews, and just to individuals that have taken advantage of the programs in the state of Washington, you know, are there gaps that they see? You know, what can be improved upon? Because of my own challenges with hunting, because I do hunt and fish, that I have experienced as an angler and a huntress, you know, I have experienced issues and gaps that I see that maybe I can gather, you know, feedback from other individuals and provide that to the committee and say maybe these are some areas of improvement that we can look at to help future anglers, huntresses, and hunters in the future. So those are my projects. Thank you.
So you've met your team, and if you have any questions for us, we'll entertain those now.
Open it up. Yes, Mr. Turmer.
Thank you. It's just great to hear all the work that you're doing. It's so important. I was struck looking at the materials that you prepared as well as presenting the notion of you're talking about gathering information about need and getting information out to the disabled community, but also the need to talk to the able-bodied community about your needs and how it's really two-directional. So I like the idea of the development of materials, the participation in the website, in getting the information out, and remembering that it's really very two-directional, that both communities need to understand how important this is and what can be done about accessibility from the able-bodied community as well. So I was very struck by that. If you'd like to add anything or any observations, I'd be interested.
Yes. Mr. Grable, the new volunteer for...
That's right. Y-O-U. I really appreciate what you're saying about the need for outreach. It's a challenge for this department in many areas. I also like the fact that you are an active outdoors person, and so you have personal experience with the challenges and what you've discovered. That's very valuable as you develop programs. We are always looking for ways for better ways of communicating with our user groups. And the website, the efforts you're making is very important. The sports shows are a good way, but also you mentioned that I'm sure many of you attend different functions for related to the public access or the challenges within different groups. And I'd be very interested to see how you develop those. I encourage you to develop those. And as Commissioner Thornburn mentioned, it can be two-way, too, and I think that's a positive because other groups learn of the needs of your group, then we start develop channels of communication, potential funding, and all of those things. But that's a particular challenge of reaching the people that need the services and how we can better reach them. Thank you for those efforts. Yes.
I also want to express my appreciation. I came in here not knowing enough about this, and I still don't, so that's why my question. It looks to me like you all are doing a tremendous job figuring out what your different regions need, and it also appears, as is often the case, that need way outweighs the resources to build whatever you need. But the other thing that I'm struck by is how cross agencies and cross local governments. You may be our ADA diversity and committee for the Americans with Disabilities Act, but you also work with a lot of other people to raise the money and to administer these programs. So my question is, when you find a project that you specifically want to do, do you grant write, or do you do an RFP, or do you ask, for instance, Joe for the money? How do you make those requests? And I'd like to know if we can help you in that.
Well, I can direct some of that or answer some of that. I just recently, at two meetings back, was able to introduce them to the ALEA grant system. So each of them has been given information about the ALEA grant program. As you heard from Rick and also from Chuck, they're building foundations with other organizations, typically sportsman-type organizations. Rick has one that he works with. I have one that I'm associated with that help a lot with that type of funding. If there are other resources available to us, that's one of the things I listed is to ask Sam about, you know, what are some of the resources that are available to us right here in the department? You know, we discussed a little bit yesterday, like he's got a phone bank system that could help us do calls if we have a list of people we want to contact and things like that. So I'm sure that there are resources that we are not engaging as yet. But because this team is so new and because I think our goals had not been identified until this team, clearly. I was on the last team. I came in to the last team 2 years into that. So I'll have 2 years into this team before I hand it off to one of the other members. But to see the difference, I don't know how many of you remember the last team and the efforts that were lacking in the last team is night and day difference between this one. You have people that are enthusiastic. You have people that are they encourage me. I mean, they're abilities and their desire to make this a resource that's available in our communities as well as statewide, and the way that each one of them is meshing with the other to cross represent and to help one another in different regions is our other big strength. And so as we learn, we pass that. We're real good at communicating with each other. So as we learn about different resources, we're sharing those resources. And then the others are going, super, you know, I can access it in my region, or maybe they can help up here. We're actually involving some large corporations as we do this as well, or trying to. And as you know, some of those are hard to get a foot in the door with. But as we do, we utilize what we can. And so we'll continue to seek out other sources of funding and resources that are available to us to help us do what we need to do.
The lighting project, I originally applied for an ALEA grant and was turned down. At the time, money is a real resource. There's a little confusion in the ALEA program that makes it a little more difficult for them to understand how a project, how this particular project was going together. The ALEA project is a volunteer type program. We were installing high tension power lines. You can't really have volunteers do that, you know. Some of the another one of the arguments was, or reasons for denial was that we didn't, no contributing funds were required, but they would have been a help. Well, if we would have known that, we have resources. We paid for the project, the whole project, ourselves from our own pockets. That's how adamant we were about getting this project done. So I think that we were really hopeful that the ADA portion, and that's what helps me the most in my fundraising. If I go into a place and say, I want to build an ADA accessible duct blind, then Par Lumber and the big companies will just, how much, you know, it was given us large $750 worth of lumber, just boom. The vendor that I use that provides the aluminum material that we build it in, he breaks it up and does all the work for me for free, and I get the price at cost. I don't have to pay all the profits, so I get the material cheaper. I have a tremendous volunteer group, and ADA is our secret weapon. We, you know, if you want to get everything in Washington State, federal and state land has to be ADA compliant. Use that to your advantage.
But so, if at the year end you ever have extra money, that you can call, you know, we'll build them and we'll find places to.
Carol, I always want you on my team.
Yeah. I don't want her on an enemy, is that right?
Okay. Yeah. Commissioner Keeney?
Thank you. That was just a really neat presentation, and it reminded me when I first started mule deer hunting in the sagebrush grounds of eastern Washington, one of my hunting partners was disabled, and he was therefore allowed to use a four-wheeler to get into locations, but it's rough country, so he had to stay on the ridgetop, so we were the bird dogs. And that was some of the funnest days of hunting, because we wouldn't take a deer until he got his deer, and just figuring out where they were going to run. He was a great shot. Putting him on the right ridge and you know, being a part of that type of hunt was just really fun. And I was always just totally amazed that, you know, once that deer was gotten, you know, our job was then to get it up to where he was if he couldn't get down to it on his four-wheeler. And then he got off that four-wheeler and crawled over there and gutted that deer. And I was just, he didn't want us to help him with that. That was part of the experience. And it was so cool. But, and then now I'm on a Mule Deer Foundation chapter in OMAC. And as you talked, I thought about, you know, sometimes it takes money to get things done. And chapters are always looking for projects, but sometimes it just takes some volunteers, you know. So if you had a person that wanted that experience that was disabled, don't forget about these little chapters around the state, like Mule Deer Foundation has a chapter in Yakima, and on the west side they have there's blacktail chapters as well. I would guess that some of these organizations like Trout Unlimited or Pheasant Forever or Mule Deer or Rocky Mountain Elk, you know, might put up some people to help some folks with disabilities have a really neat hunting experience, as well as maybe some of the type of blind activities that you're talking about. So anyway, really neat hearing from you.
Yeah, Commissioner McIsaac.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thanks to all of you for what you're doing. I think this is just a great example of the legislature passing a law and getting even more than they were hoping for. You know, all your enthusiasm and your energy is just so obvious, you know, whether it be ideas of bringing the veterans in or the Wenatchee River Walk where people can see the birds and see the river, you know, the duck blinds and the lighting and things like that. Working with the community folks, either organizations or businesses, is so very positive. And you know, fixing the website, making it better, that's how people learn, you know, just the history that you all bring to it and your coordination and all the enthusiasm is such a wonderful thing to see. So I'm just saying thank you from my perspective on the commission. This is just a very, very positive thing.
Sure.
Yeah, thanks, Mr. Chair. Some of you, I don't think I've met. I'm Joe Storr. I'm the current director, and feel free to get a hold of me. I know Sam's not shy. If there's anything I can do to help, you guys are a unique group, and you're a different group. Someone noted that the energy and the activities you're taking on is a step or two or three above what the last group did. So I really appreciate that. You're unique in a number of ways. We have 20-plus advisory committees, but none of them are established in statute like you are. None of them report to the commission like you do. But beyond that, the ability to enhance participation in the community is super, and just the addition to the diversity in the organization is just fantastic. So really appreciate what you're doing. Appreciate Sam's effort. On the funding side, I think we can be more creative in terms of what we can help you with in the department. And we ought to be looking deliberately at the capital budget development. As we do that every year, we have a big budget and then a supplemental budget. But we ought to be looking deliberately at what your needs are. And then we do have funds left over sometimes in our capital budget. You mentioned the ALEA. There are a number of fund sources. Rory in back there works for the Recreation Conservation Office, and I represent the department on the Recreation Conservation Funding Board. We work through funding arrangements on a number of accounts, various federal and state sources. So there are opportunities that we could either deal with within the agency and the dollars that we have, or look to help and partner with you as we would go after competitive grants. So I think that's something we ought to pursue more aggressively and try to get more on the ground to meet your needs, especially as you're out there developing these projects. So some of that takes a while. Some of these cycles are a year or two long. But there are other opportunities where we could probably do something on the short term, too. So that's something I'd like to offer up.
Thank you. Yes, Commissioner Thornburg.
The stuff that you've presented is kind of the glamorous part. I also want to thank you for your input on the laws that were just passed, as well as the rules that we're going to be taking a look at. That's one of our important functions, is adopting rules, and your input is invaluable. So maybe not the most glamorous part of being on this committee, but your input is very, very important. We appreciate it.
Let me just close up by, again, echoing my fellow commissioner's thanks. Having been involved with the committee for a number of years, it ain't the same committee as it was. And Rick and Dan were around, and it's really gotten to be, I'm very proud of what you're doing, and I'm very pleased. And I want to give a shout out to Sam and his leadership in helping pull this together. And we are here to help. And again, I'm going to say I'm speaking for all of us up here. But if we can be in our regions, in various regions, I mean, Region 4 is coming on board later. But if you need us, I mean, I would be happy if schedules allow to show up at a meeting or to help make a pitch, a big pitch, good pitch, or anything like that. Don't hesitate. And I know, Carol, you won't hesitate. But to get in contact with us, because we this is the right thing to do. And Carol, what you mentioned, the goal, I remember mentioning to the committee a few years ago, we want to make Washington the best state when it comes to all of these issues. And we talk a lot about diversity in all of the right ways. This is part of it that sometimes doesn't get always included in that dialogue. And as Director Storr said, you have a lot of words that can be very influential in helping obtain funding across the street when played appropriately. ADA, as you said, that's a good word. That can be played appropriately. Veteran, good word, you know. How you splice these together. Non-traditional participants, increasing access to the outdoors. Seniors, which not everybody is, but unless we end up 6 foot under, a lot of us will end up facing challenges that we don't have today. And that's part of the reality. So playing these words appropriately and splicing them together could be very helpful in obtaining external funding. Hard to say no to for all of the right reasons. So we're here to help you. I really, again, appreciate the change that I've witnessed in the last few years. And we're here to support you. Help us do this. Help us, Carol, to make Washington the best state when it comes to barrier-free access for all of our citizens. So thanks. And again, thanks, Sam, for your leadership. And we'll look forward to... I want to go on one of those duck blinds. For both of, to take a picture and to have a meal. Too.
They're pretty comfortable.
Yeah, I've never been in a duck blind that's comfortable, so that would be a first. Normally when I'm in a duck blind, it's, what the hell am I doing here? I could be in bed. Thank you all.
Thank you very much.
We have to listen to lots of people coming before us yelling and screaming, and for good reasons too, but it's so nice to hear. Good stuff.
Thank you all very much. Thanks for the opportunity.
Thanks, Sam.